every tidbit or every little gift that a dog receives is a surprise. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. Every little thing that a dog gets is a surprise. Now, we may serve him his dinner, but we don't serve it to him on exactly the right time. It's an hour this way or that way, or 2 hours this way or that way. And, of course, he's happy to take it any time. And when he takes it, he's happy with it. And then he's content. Now, he comes to the table, and he, meaning Rex, our dog, Rex comes to the table, and naturally he smells all these delicious smells that our meals make. And he's very interested in those smells. And he thinks to himself, I wonder what they would be like closer up. And he proceeds to try to get as close as he can to it without having his mouth on the table, because we will not allow him to take food off the table. He takes it from his bowl or from the floor, but not from the table. So, we were feeding him a little treat left over from the plate, and then someone said, "Now, isn't it interesting? He probably thinks, I wonder if there's any more. Am I going to get some more? Can I get some more?" And I said, "What are we saying here? Are we creating that dog having that attitude that it wants more, that it wants everything?" Parents who love their children train their children to be satisfied with whatever they get, to be happy with whatever they get, not to always be looking for more, not to always be wanting more and begging for more and begging, "Can I have some more? Can I have some more?" And parents can train their children to take the smallest piece of cake and give the largest piece to the other children. And what a great attitude that builds up in the consciousness to do this. But it takes a greater attitude on the parents' side, because they say, "He wants the larger piece. He wants the larger." Well, that's the parents' idea. The kid doesn't really care one way or the other. It's an attitude that's been built into his consciousness by his parents, just like the pet owners build into their pets the attitude that they want things when they don't. Now, when Little Love, Ellen's dog, comes to the table, and Ellen is not going to give him anything that evening, which is not every evening, but that evening, and she'll say, "Basta, you know, no, nothing tonight." And he'll go and jump into his bed, and he'll lay there and say, "Okay, I tried, you know, and I didn't get any surprises tonight, but I got a happy surprise that she loved me yet, you know, and that's always good, you know." So, you see, we forget that we do this to ourselves, to our pets, to our children, to our world. We build in them the attitude that they think, we build in them the attitude that we think they think.
Yes.
We think they think the attitude that we are saying. Not that they really think it, they might, but not that they really do. It might have been the farthest thing from their mind, you know. Oftentimes, Ingeborg is sitting here thinking about something, and she's saying, I think I'll make some wood out here. I'm going to chop it up, and I'm going to do this and do that." And then we pass Ingeborg something to eat, and she says, "No, thank you." And she passes it along. And then later on, she says, "Don't I get some of that too?" And we said, "Yeah, we passed it to you." "Oh," she said, "oh, my goodness, I was concentrating on something else, and I didn't think about it, you know." And now, if we had eaten it, and Ingeborg never knew that it was there, because it was all gone, she wouldn't have missed it. Now, we think she would have missed it because she would have known it was there. But Ingeborg is a very concentrated person on whatever she's doing. And so, therefore, things like that can go by her without her even knowing it. Now, the same is true for Rex. This, you'll say, is obvious. But when I give Rex something he doesn't prefer to eat, he could just as soon not have had that. If I give him a piece of lettuce, he says, "There's no taste on it. There's no flavor on it, you know." And I say, "Rex doesn't like lettuce." Well, it's not that Rex doesn't like lettuce. It's that Rex likes to have the meat juice. And if you put meat juice on lettuce, the lettuce is gone. You know? And so, you see, we create our own world and our own illusions. We create our own experiences and our own attitudes. And what sort of an attitude would a proper pet owner have toward his dog or cat or lizard or mouse or whatever? A proper pet owner toward their dearly beloved pet would say, "You eat your food, I eat my food. This is a tradition we're going to have, and we're not going to change it. I don't make you happy by having a piece of my food. I make me happy by giving you a piece of my food, thinking you enjoy it so much when you really don't enjoy it, but you enjoy doing it because you think I enjoy having you do it, so you enjoy it for me. And it's my attitude that you're taking on. It's not your attitude at all." And if we would just not give our pets any table scraps, in fact, this is what the vet recommends, not give the pet any table scraps, just give them our love. Say, "Sit there, you can join us, and you can sit with us. You've had your meal already." Usually that's the case. And the dog is perfectly happy. But if he thinks he can get... I give Rex part of my banana every breakfast. And when that banana is gone, he is gone. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stay by me because he knows that's what he's going to get, a part of my banana. And when that part of my banana is over, he is history, you know, or I am history. And he's off doing his own thing. Now, that's not bad. But you see, it just points out so strongly that these are habits we build up. And as we have a habit of not wanting the dog to jump on people, for instance, that's because, "Oh, isn't he happy? Isn't he frisky? Isn't he delightful?" No! He is out of control. And when he is out of his control, he is not a happy dog to have around. When Rex is not a happy, when Rex is out of his control and jumping and leaping and coming down on top of little Love, you know, 1/5 his size, or a third, or no, 16th maybe, what would you say? Very small compared to that, like a chihuahua and a monster, you know. And he comes down and he doesn't want to hurt little Love, he just wants to play with him and, you know, bat him around, you know, like a little kitten or a little mouse. And little Love doesn't take to that. And he said, "Rawr, out of my way, you know, back off, back off, back off." But the thing is, we are the ones who do that. Isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? No, it isn't cute. Now, Rex, you can play, but be gentle with little Love. We teach our children to be gentle with their younger kids, you know, and we should certainly teach our pets to be gentle with smaller pets than they, as well as ourselves. Because Rex loves to come and put his foot on our arm. And he wants to say, "I love you, pet me, pet me, pet me." Well, his foot is a rough foot from running up and down the mountains and running all over the 104 acres here. And he's got rough feet. And so when he withdraws his foot gently off of your arm, he takes part of your flesh along with it, not meaning to at all.